Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Sips and Tips Podcast Season 3, Episode 3. Now, this is the podcast where we each week will mix up a craft cocktail, and then we're going to fix all your problems. I'm Kitch.
And I'm Andrea.
And today, we'll be mixing up a drink called Nightcap, which Andrea found at liquor.com. What a great website.
Yeah.
Liquor.com.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Nope.
Before we get into the drink, just a reminder to like and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and of course, do I have to say it that way? The TikTok.
That's how all the kids are saying it. It's the TikTok. I'm pretty sure. Yes. Is it?
I'm quite sure.
And then please share the podcast with your friends wherever you listen to the podcast. Please give us a 5-star rating. And if you have a few extra seconds, jot down a little review because it would be lovely to actually know that somebody listens.
Yeah.
And see the podcast, maybe climb up the rankings a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, Andrea, take us through this nightcap that we're having today.
Okay, this is a rum drink, which we don't mix very often. I actually had to wipe the dust off the rum bottle.
The very large
Kirkland bottle of rum. So this recipe calls for Gosling's Gold Seal rum. So it's just an amber rum, but we just have spiced rum. So that's what we're going with.
Yep, we're going to try it. What the hell?
So we have spiced rum. So it's 2 ounces of rum, 2 ounces of cold brew coffee, which we always have in the house. Half an ounce of grade A maple syrup. I think I used some pretty good maple syrup in this one.
Okay, good.
Zest of one orange, one dash of Angostura bitters, San Pellegrino tonic water, or if you're us, PC tonic water.
Because we're cheap.
Yeah.
That's why.
And I did not garnish it with an orange peel because we just have little, what are those oranges called?
They're clementines, aren't they?
They're mandarins.
They're mandarins? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're just little mandarins. It's very hard to kind of make an orange peel garnish. But we do have the zests.
Yes, for sure.
In there. And so we put the rum, the cold brew, the maple syrup, the orange zest, and the bitters into a shaker with ice and shook it up. We strained it into our highball glass with our big, nice, square, large ice cube. Topped it with the tonic and stirred gently. And I did not garnish it with the orange peel. And now we're going to drink it.
Now we're
going
to give it a try.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let Andrea...
Who's first? You're first.
I'm first?
Yeah.
You go first because I've got some information on the term nightcap. So while you're doing that, I'm going to go through this. So I'm sure everyone has heard the term nightcap, but might not have known where it came from. So the term nightcap can be traced back to the 19th century, the very first written documentation of this word is in Oxford Nightcaps in 1827. Now, since an entire book was dedicated to the concept of nightcap, it made the word's usage popular in the English lexicon. As per 19th century drinking culture, a nightcap is an essential drink and part of the lifestyle believed to help the drinker catch a good night's sleep.
Not with the coffee in it.
Not with coffee in it, probably. This is a horrible nightcap.
I don't know what they're thinking.
However, it is important to note that modern science rejects the notion that alcoholic beverages assist in providing better sleep. Now, that was taken from inthebar.com, so we have to give them credit where credit is due. And I saw you take a sip. What do you think?
It's not bad. It's not my favorite drink.
Well... You know what? I don't mind it at all. I think it could use actually a little bit more orange.
Oh, see, I find it really orangey.
But that's my jam. I like the orange.
I like real orange as well. But
yeah,
that I found that like almost bitter orange.
But maybe instead of just the zest, maybe even take one of those little mandarin pieces and squeeze it right in there, so you get a little bit of juice going.
Well, we could do that.
That would be good. Well, we don't have to right now, but so
yeah,
it's very smooth.
It is very smooth.
I don't taste the rum. I taste orange and coffee. Mm-hmm. That's what I taste.
Kind of like Grand Marnier.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Good call. Yeah. That is kind of like Grand Marnier. Wow. If it wasn't such a pain in the ass to mix up every time you wanted one, I'd probably
wasn't bad. It was an easier one to make for sure.
Huh. Okay. So, yeah, I don't, like I said, don't really taste the rum at all.
No.
And this was in in one drink, 2 ounces of rum, 2 ounces of cold coffee, right?
Yeah, I doubled the recipe for our two drinks.
Right, yeah. So. Okay, well, I kind of like it. Mm-hmm. I would do that. And if I saw that on a menu somewhere, now that I know, I would probably be inclined to order it.
Yeah. I feel like I could do without the tonic, but it's not bad. It only gives a little bit of fizz.
Oh, right. I forgot there's tonic
there's
in it.
There's tonic in it. Yeah. So I don't know how that changes it.
But I don't get any maple syrup either.
Well, there's not a ton in it compared to it was one full total ounce of maple syrup. That probably sweetened it. That's probably
can you
it really
can you hear me smacking my lips? I can hear you smacking. It's very tasty, actually. I like it.
Well, it's almost kind of like some of your bourbon drinks.
It is, actually, yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of like some of those sours and.
Except I can drink this one without making a face.
I need to get you some good bourbon and get you hooked. Hooked on the bourbon. Okay, well, I would give that about a 3.5 stars. Mm-hmm. Not that we normally give stars, but I would give it a 3.5 star because it's pretty good.
I think I've given like a whole bunch of thumbs before, but.
Oh, yeah, we could do thumbs. I'll give it 2 thumbs up.
I give it 1.
Not that anyone can see. I just actually gave 2 thumbs up for all of you not watching at home. But yeah, I like it. So, So that is called the Nightcap. We found that at liquor.com. And I would recommend it if you've got the ingredients, which we will link in the show notes. And give it a try. And we'll be right back with our first of 2 problems. All right, we are back, and we've got 2 problems to go through this week, and I will apologize because this first email is a little long, but this one was sent in by an anonymous listener, and it goes like this. I think my mom has a mental disorder. She is slobbish and disgusting to the extreme, and I don't know what mental disorder she has, but no mentally healthy person would live like her, and I do know she needs some serious professional help. She also has a major victim complex. You will never meet anyone who constantly views themselves as the victim as much as her. For example, growing up, my father was incredibly physically, verbally, psychologically abusive to me and my siblings, but she was too busy wrapped up in her own self-pity to care or do anything. It's caused a lot of psychological damage to us. Any criticism about things now, she sees as bullying. I know the answer is that I need to have an uncomfortable conversation with her and beg her to get help, but I'm scared to. I don't want to tell my own mom she is revolting and lives like a pig. It's so mean, but that's the truth, and there is no way to tiptoe around it. She is bringing everyone down. She is an embarrassment. I'm not good at diplomacy, so I'm reaching out to ask for advice on how to go about this. Any advice on how to word my intentions would be appreciated. Whew. Mm. There's a lot to unpack in that one.
Oh, you said it, didn't you?
What's that, Sari?
Unpack.
Yeah, unpack. So I wish there had been a little more detail in there about how she lives. It just says she's revolting and disgusting.
She's probably like a hoarder.
That was my first thought. She's a hoarder. She doesn't keep her house. She doesn't look after her. Self, like mm-hmm. maintaining her own physical being. Mm-hmm. And you're right, that is going to be a difficult conversation. There's no doubt about it. The first thing I would do would be to get together with my siblings. I see this as almost an intervention. Now, it doesn't say how many siblings you have, but it does say that your father was incredibly abusive to you and your siblings. So it sounds like you have more than one. So the first thing I would do would be to get together with your brothers and sisters or whatever combination you have and discuss your concerns and see how they think or what they think. And then I would stage an intervention. You need to sit down with her, yourself, your siblings, need to be prepared to tell her how you're feeling. And I don't see anywhere in that email where it says that dad is still in the picture. Or if he's left or passed or anything anything along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps if he is still around, you involve him also. And you just tell her how you feel. And it's going to go one of two ways. She's going to accept it and see your side and your concerns and accept the fact that she needs help. Or she's going to throw you out of her house and you never have to look at all that slobbishness again. That's just, it's only going to go one or two ways.
Yeah, you should probably actually involve some kind of a professional in the process for yourself first. If your siblings are going to be part of it, then they should all be part of it as well, because you likely all have PTSD.
Oh, 100%.
And yes, your mom definitely has some kind of mental disorder. It could be something she has on top of all of the trauma that she has also been through, not just you guys, but her as well.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially from her own childhood, which you don't mention here. So it's not going to be just a quick fix, get help, and everything is going to be hunky-dory. But your whole family probably needs to have some kind of help. And to go in and, I'm not sure, you say you're not, what is the word? You're not good at diplomacy.
I don't think this is an area where diplomacy is.
Yeah, it is.
You think so?
Yep, absolutely. Because if you have somebody who's just going to be, if they're going to get defensive, you're never going to win. You're never going to get anyone any help. Because all you're going to get is defensiveness. So you cannot go
Fair
in
enough.
And be accusatory. You can't go in and be demanding. You only can go in terms of your own needs and express your concern, not your disgust. So you definitely need diplomacy. And that's why I say you need help with this. Why I say you probably all need some therapy before this is ever going to get anywhere. So you can't just go in with letters and start. And it's just going to become a big shit mm-hmm. show fight
yeah,
with everybody accusing everybody of, because you obviously blame your mother for your father. I mean, you blame your father, but you obviously also blame your mother for not stepping in.
For not stepping in and doing something. Yep.
And yes, that's totally valid. But she may not have the mental capacity to do it either, or didn't back then. And so you can't, you obviously probably need to figure out some way to deal with all the stuff that you went through as kids with or without your mom involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then have her dealt with, because I think you're just going to end up in a giant, everybody's going to hate everybody and it'll just be worse. So you can make ultimatums if you know, you can say things like, you know, we're not going to come here with it like this. Totally fine. You have mm-hmm. to have your own boundaries. But you can't go in and blame, because you're going to get nothing but resistance and defense.
That's a good point.
And you're not going to get anywhere.
See, it's a good thing you're here, because I wouldn't have taken that route at all.
Really?
No. I would have just walked in there and said, clean us the fuck up, and or you're never going to see us again. And
see, with messiness, like someone maybe has ADHD or something like that.
It sounds like it's one thing,
but people who hoard, I mean, I'm thinking of, I've used to watch the show Hoarders.
A lot. Yes.
Did you ever watch it?
Yes.
Fascinating show.
Yeah. I've been in a hoarder's house, actually.
Oh my God.
Years ago.
That would be terrifying.
Stacks and stacks and stacks of newspapers and things like that.
And there's deep seated mental reasons for it. It's usually loss, fear of loss, and change and not being able to give up things. And it definitely is a mental issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just say, get rid of it and clean it up. That doesn't fix anything. You may get the house cleaned up once, but that's not going to fix it. She's going to get it all right back again.
Right back. Yeah.
There's not going to fix anything. So it is definitely something that needs, and getting mental health help is not easy. Nope. I don't know what your financial states are and how that's doable, but it's if you can find ways
mm-hmm.
to get it individually and as a family if you need to. But you and your siblings and your mother probably all need Because the psychological abuse and all that, guaranteed it wasn't just on you kids, it was on your mother as well.
For sure, yep.
And that's probably a big reason why she didn't slash couldn't get to a place where she could help you guys.
Right. No, that's good. And I just want to follow all of that up by saying that neither Andrea and I or I are medical or psychological professionals. This is just our humble opinion.
But I have taken one psychology course.
Yes. Yeah.
I have one under my belt.
And I have not.
And one rotation inside.
I'm just an average Joe.
But I like watching the shows.
Right. Well, and
it's not mental health stuff is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know is that going in and screaming at someone and yelling at them and being angry, it never gets anywhere.
That's true.
You just, all you do is fight back and forth, and it's defensive, and nobody listens, nobody hears, and you just feel attacked, and you're just going to shut right down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. When you put it like that, I see exactly what you're saying. And yep, I would agree with you. So, good. All right. Well, that was easy. Anything hope we fix that
easy.
For you.
Yeah, easy. Sorry, just, not
just,
easy.
Just do all that and you'll be fine.
It's a long haul, like years.
Yeah, it's not going to be an overnight
fix. Is likely as hard as doing an intervention with a drug addict. Mm-hmm. It's the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not drugs. It's
hoarding.
Either hoarding or whatever. Maybe it's pure on depression because she can't get up and get out of bed and do anything for herself. It could very well be just complete and utter, like, I can't do anything.
Yep. And that would totally make sense in this situation.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, shall we move on to the second email?
Sure.
Okay. You're going to read this one?
All right. Okay, this is from wanting to meet the parents.
More parent problems.
So my boyfriend still hasn't introduced me to his parents, and I don't know why. So I have been dating my boyfriend for 7 months now, and things are going well. I am 24, and he is 28. However, I have not yet met his parents, and I'm starting to wonder why. First, they do not live in the same state. Mine do, and we have gotten together with them a few times. During the few times he has seen his parents while we have been dating, he has told me that they have told him that they want to meet me and to bring me to their house for a weekend sometime. He seems excited in the moment, but it never comes to fruition. He makes other plans with me for months in the future, but can't seem to make that one. This most recent time, he even suggested a potential actual date, and when I said that would work for me, he then said he would have to check his schedule to make sure and that it may be hard due to other trips he has. And I felt like he kind of got weird over text. Another note, he has also never brought a girl home or had a serious relationship, and neither have either of his siblings, 26 and 30. Should I be concerned?
Wow. Okay, so this dude is 28. Mm-hmm. And refuses to allow you to meet the parents. Does it say in here anywhere if this is a boy-girl relationship or is this a boy-boy relationship or?
Yeah, it says he has never brought a girl home.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So we're definitely talking girls and boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Who knows? Maybe he's embarrassed of his parents? Embarrassed of his house?
That would be one of my first thoughts. There's a reason in there for, obviously he's happy with you because he's with you and you guys have had a relationship for 7 months, it said, I think. Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be okay meeting your parents.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something. I don't know. Maybe it's something about his family or his family dynamic that he hasn't told you about or is bothering him and thinks that you may not approve of or not like, or you might be embarrassed of something. It's hard to say.
I don't think you have a personal reason to be concerned. If it were me and I was in your shoes, I would just try to reassure him that you really don't care who his parents are or what his family is like or where he came from or what their house is like or anything like that. You're not with his parents. You're with him. And you'd like to know a little bit more about him, and meeting his parents would help you do that, or meeting his siblings or what have you. So just reassure him that whatever's on the other end of that phone or the other end of that visit is not going to determine whether or not you want to be with him, regardless of what it is.
As long as that's true.
Yes. As long as that's true.
As long as you don't have some kind of, have you said something to him about things that, you know, you don't like or wouldn't want as part of your world or something.
Perhaps there's
maybe they live in a trailer. I don't know.
Maybe there's a religious difference and he's worried about that.
Yep. That's always a big one.
And maybe they have bodies in their basement. Yeah. And he's scared you might stumble across something that you shouldn't see. It's hard to say.
Maybe it's like four Christmases when they go to the UFC
family. Yes. Yep.
You find out his name's Orlando and not Mark or whatever.
Yeah, just ask him. Just tell him flat out, if there's anything I need to know before we go here, tell me.
Please tell me. I don't want to be surprised.
And then reassure him that everything's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. You don't care, you know, who they are, where they live, anything like that. If this is going to be a long-term ongoing relationship, then it's going to happen at some point anyway. It's going to have to. So just...
Maybe they're really, like, judgmental.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're, like, in, what is it, in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
I've never seen that
parents.
Movie.
Oh, you haven't? When his parents are just, they're just like, he's their only son and they're really boring. And she says their parents are like toast. You know, maybe very, very different backgrounds. Who knows?
No, I've never seen that one, but that would make sense. And maybe if, because it looks like you're the middle child. He's 28.
The middle child.
He has siblings who are 26 and 30. So he is right in the middle. Usually that's not a, usually it's the baby that gets protected and who they, the parents are a little more.
Yeah. The middle child's usually the one who just does well. I mean, I could see the middle child not having had a serious relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Ever. The baby never moving out and
so
the 30-year-old, I don't know. Maybe they're just not, like, who knows? Are they, like, I don't know what their personality is like. Why have they never had a serious relationship? Maybe that's not.
Well, and she doesn't know either because she's never met them.
Right now, right?
So.
Yeah, she doesn't say if she's met the siblings or not. I guess not.
No. So, I don't, your last question in the email says, should I be concerned? I don't believe you should be concerned. He's just. I would say it's probably an embarrassment or a worry on his end what you're going to think after you meet those folks, and just reassure him that it doesn't matter who they are or anything like that. You're in the relationship for him, not them, and you know, and don't push it either. The more you push, the more he's going to probably back off. So
yeah, and are you concerned that he's not serious? That's all I could say is maybe
perhaps.
You're concerned that he's not serious and that's why he's not bothering to take you.
Maybe he knows.
And he's just said, yeah, whatever, I'll meet your parents. I don't care. But
yeah,
he's not willing to have you meet his. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you have to be concerned about that part. I don't know. But 7 months, it's not very long. Especially not this day and age when you're only 26.
Maybe he told them he was dating Margot Robbie.
Maybe.
And you're not Margot Robbie.
He might have lied.
Yeah. And if he takes you to meet them, he can't cover that up anymore because it'll be quite obvious. So
just dress up like Barbie.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. You'll meet them when you meet them. And if you don't meet them, then it's probably not a serious thing for him. And maybe that's something that you need to determine between now and whenever.
I mean, 7 months isn't that long.
No. No, it's not.
Really? So who knows?
How long were you and I together before I met your mom and Ken?
Before you met them in person? I mean, we met right before COVID, so it was quite some time.
Yeah.
I don't remember when the first in-person meeting was.
Yeah, I don't remember either, actually. I think it was Bella's birthday.
Could be.
I think that was like the first
time.
Here? Nope. In Spruce.
Oh, yeah.
So that would have been...
Yeah, it probably was.
Yeah.
So that would have been, yeah, June of 2020.
Yeah. So that's so, that 8 months.
8 months, I guess.
Yeah. Give them one more month. And if nothing happens in the next 30 days, break it off.
Yep. So. Time's a ticking.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to pour another drink here, and we will come back with our moments. Okay, we're back, and as per normal, at the end of every podcast, we take a minute and we go through an Our Moment card, where we each read a card from Our Moments, the, I guess I was going to call it a board game, but it's not really a board game, it's just a card game. Kind of a conversation starter game, mm-hmm. That we've used on a number of occasions, both just the two of us, and we have the family version that we use at dinner time, so that we can all... be part of the conversation without staring at our phones. So I'm going to read an Our Moments card for Andrea to answer, and then she'll read one for me to answer before we sign off and call it a day. So my question for Andrea says, what were some of your favorite games to play when you were a kid, and do you see any parallels to what you chose to do as a career?
What did I play as a kid? Well, I was very competitive in everything I did.
Oh, I don't believe you.
In terms of games. So what? No matter what it was, I was very competitive. But I did like to pretend to be a teacher a lot.
Mm.
I did like, I was like writing on the chalkboard right. And well, telling sense. People what to do.
Totally makes sense. Yeah. I mean, but you
haven't teaching. I was, oh, I, okay. Was, okay. I was teaching. So I did pretend a lot to be a teacher. I mean, I always wanted to be a vet, but mm-hmm. I did do that a lot and kind of similar to what I do now.
Yeah.
Which I always liked. I always liked teaching. Well,
you're an educator now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That makes
and in
sense.
Nursing, you do a lot of teaching all the time.
Right.
Regardless of whether you're an educator, as a nurse, you are constantly teaching.
Teaching somebody yeah. something.
You're either teaching patients or you're teaching others, like new staff members, even when you're not an educator.
You right.
mentor other staff and teach them, so.
Mm,
yeah,
good.
I always liked that part of it. So maybe that's it.
So there are obvious parallels mm-hmm. between childhood and adulthood.
I played a lot of house with Barbie, and she was like a housewife, and I'm certainly not a, you know, housewife of Edmonton. But
no. No.
So that one didn't parallel.
Is that
at
a
all.
Show? Can we make that show?
Housewives of Edmonton.
Nobody wants to watch
no,
that.
No, no. I don't want to watch any of the other ones, let alone...
No, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. I like that. So what do you got for me?
Okay. What would be your ideal room in a house where you would feel the most comfortable if you had unlimited money and time?
I feel like it would be kind of man cave-ish. I would want a nice, comfortable spot to sit and watch hockey games. Whether that's a fairly good-sized TV and a couch with a bar and a place where I could host for some hockey games. I would like a corner of that room to be music-related with my guitars and maybe a small electronic drum kit. And I would like part of that room to include a dedicated space for recording podcasts, so we don't have to tear down and set up every time we go to do something like this. I would like to have not a studio, but just a space where we can leave the mic set up.
We have unlimited money. Make it a studio.
Yeah, well, that's true. We could do some soundproofing. We could upgrade some equipment. Yeah, it wouldn't have to be an outlandish space. It wouldn't cost much because really everything that I would need to put in there I already have, with the exception of the Roland drum kit. But yeah, And then along one very large wall would be a combination shrine to the Edmonton Oilers and the Tragically Hip.
Just all mixed in together.
Just all combined. Yep. So, I mean, that's pretty basic. I think a lot of, you ask that question of a lot of guys and they think they're going to come up with the same thing. It's going to be a place to watch sports, a bar, maybe a poker table.
Yeah, but you've got to have it like where, like, your bar comes out from a wall and your TV flies up from the floor, and then
like you hidden behind spin a cabinet or something.
Your studio, oh, and then you go behind this hidden door. Like, I can get creative here.
A room so big, I got to jump on one of those mini choo choo trains to get from one side to the other, like a Willy Wonka train or something like that. Totally. Okay, okay.
Think big, think
and
big.
And an ice cream sundae fountain. Like at a buffet.
Yeah. See, there you go.
And somebody at the end of the bar slicing big chunks of roast beef off and pouring some horseradish and gravy. That's, I don't know. We're going all now out here. Weird. Let's well, it's not, he'd be wearing an Oilers jersey. So that's, I don't think that's weird. I wanted something simple. You were the one that started going nuts, lady. So anyway, that's pretty much it for my room and for the podcast, I think. Mm-hmm. So we'll sign off this week, and we'll sign off with this. Cheers to the perfect blend of spirits and wisdom. As we shake up another episode, remember, life is a cocktail of experiences, so savor every drop.
Until our next pour of insights, keep mixing, stirring, and living your best concoction. This is Sips and Tips, signing off with a toast to your happy hour of life. Cheers and
clink you later. This has been a 3x2 podcast production.